thing.
I'm going to turn this off so we can kibitz. There you go.
Okay, well, I need it for a moment, so hold on.
That history on the Collis Indian tribe, your name keeps getting into it more and more often.
Oh, well, that'll finish after a while.
Well, you were so important in so many of the places. It just keeps popping up in the story.
Yeah, well, those were good times. We really dedicated our life to that recognition that I felt.
You and I sure did that. That's for sure.
Yeah, and John, of course.
Yeah.
So if, Tom, is it okay if Roy and I talk for a second?
Yes, please.
Okay. Roy, you remember the name of Paul Schultz?
Paul who?
Paul Schultz. He directed you in Song of the Salish Chief. He was the choir, he was the conductor for Song of the Salish Chief.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes.
He passed away.
Oh, no.
I saw it in the News Tribune. He and his wife had relocated to maybe Kentucky in the last year or two.
Yeah.
Anyway, his obituary was in the News Tribune. And he was only like 78 or 79.
He was such a wonderful friend.
He was a wonderful person, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. A great musician, a great friend. He had a beautiful spirit.
I think he was a big, you know, he worked from his heart. And I feel like he was a philanthropist in that way.
Yeah.
Because he worked from his heart so much.
I worked with him on the Song of the Salish Chief on, it was about four different presentations over the years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a beautiful program, and he coordinated everything between the choir and yourself and the musicians, I'm sure. Very nice program.
Yeah.
Isn't that out somewhere that we can view it? What was the status on that, Tom?
The last time I knew about it, Larry had said that there's a copy that he gave to grandfather that's on a DVD, but we haven't found it yet.
That's right.
Oh.
I would love to see that.
Well, I'm gonna be out the grandfather's in the next couple of days. So if I can remember to look for it, I will.
Of course, I mean, it would be beautiful to listen to. There's nothing like hearing it in the church that's so sacred already.
Well,
we can't go back and do that, but I'm really blessed to have that experience. And I'm sure Laura feels the same.
Yes.
You know what? And I misspoke. He was born in 1938, so he was 82. But still, he always seemed so vibrant. Roy, have you had any contact with Marilyn Davis since Ed passed away?
Yes, I called her. And you had Linda give me a call, and she told me about it. So I immediately called Marilyn, and I had a good chat with her and a time of prayer with her.
Good.
And then I told her, I said, if at any time you need me in any way, give me a call. But I've never heard back from her.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if she'd be very good about calling out for help. You know, I mean, we're all so isolated right now. I know you can't drive there, but luckily Annette doesn't live too far away either.
I'll have to give her another call.
That would be so nice. Yeah. That'd be very nice.
I'll give her a call in the morning.
So that's really sweet. Good.
She's another one of our Slotwild cousins.
Yeah. And I think Frances is still alive. I haven't heard any different that about Frances. I think she's still alive.
Yeah, she is.
Okay. I know her Alzheimer's.
I asked Marilyn the other morning when I called her. I said, is Mama still alive? She said, yes, she is.
Okay.
And she's getting up there in years like me.
Yeah, I probably never knew when she was.
If I remember right, she's 2 years older than I am, so I make her 95 now.
Wow. That's great.
And grandfather?
Yes?
I got a Christmas card from Little Eagle, Dorothy Peterson.
Really?
Yeah, she's still kicking and living in her own house. I thought she had moved into a retirement home.
Wow.
But she's as older than you, isn't she?
You know, she's getting up there. I don't remember how old she is, but she's getting up there.
Yeah, I was thinking she was a little bit older than you.
Yeah, wow.
Well, my son's uncle, who had the same name as my son, he passed away on Sunday. He was my age. And so, you know, I think we're all on the downhill slide of the hill.
But I know I'm not climbing up now.
But you're not free falling yet.
I stopped three different times a day to take a nap.
No, nothing wrong with that.
Well, one of the recent winds we had blew a bunch of my neighbor's trees across my fence and into my driveway. And so I took my chainsaw and cut them down. And this week I cut them all up into firewood for the longhouse.
Oh my gosh, almighty.
So I cut for a while and then I stop and take a nap. Then I cut for a while and I stop and take a nap.
So it is 6 o'clock. Do we want to wait a couple minutes, see if anyone else shows up? Just the bare bones of us here tonight.
Well, I think we should just start going at 6 because people are used to coming in at 6:05.
Okay.
So if we start at 6, they'll start being here at 6, hopefully.
I think that's a great idea.
Well, I'll just Irene. Johnny before we start.
Well, how are you, Trump? Well, how are you, Tillicum?
Got a beautiful smile there, my friend.
Thank you, Grandfather. Masi, masi.
You're sure doing good, Johnny, on the language. Good for you.
Yeah, I know.
Especially for someone who's not trying.
Yeah, I know 3 words.
Well, they're important words.
Welcome, Irene. It is good to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Irene.
Hello. Looking for my book.
Hey.
All right. Here comes the Larsons.
Oh, great.
Hey. Well, Klahoya. Everyone,
Klahoya.
Welcome to the teachings of the Medicine Wheel week 3. Oh my goodness. On this 28th day of January, Marcia or Rainbow, please say 28 in Chinook for me.
Mok-tot-lum p-stotican.
Beautiful. Okay. We are joined again for a time of sharing, learning, and preserving heritages for many generations to come. Our mission with this hour is to preserve stories and traditions of the Medicine Wheel teaching as shared by Grandfather Roy Wilson. We transitioned from the Native stories after doing almost 60 of them to the Medicine Wheel. And we're putting an extensive teaching time into a compact time frame. So we are doing about half Medicine Wheel and about half language. So this is just such a bright spot in my week. And I'm just going to turn it over to our master storyteller, Grandfather Roy Wilson.
Mossy, mossy. Klahaya, dear friends and family.
Well,
tonight we're in the third moon of the north. The Indian people would call this the strong winds moon, because this is usually the time of year we give our strongest winds, the heaviest winds. It's this moon dates from February 19th to March 20th. We are actually right now about 9 days into that moon. This is the cougar plantain turquoise moon. And a few words about this before I go into the teachings of cougar, plantain, and turquoise. Since we are actually in the moon that we are talking about, as you're listening to the teachings, you are cougar, you are plantain, you are turquoise, and you may feel, as I'm giving the teaching, that's really not me. Then you really need to watch and consider what I'm saying about you, because this is the best time of the year for you to work on it. As you work on those weaknesses, this is the time of the year when those powers are the most prevalent, the most active. And so you can really take in on it. It's like, it's a whole lot better eating that baked apple pie when it first comes out of the oven than a week or 2 weeks later. So enjoy the teachings tonight. For some of these teachings, some of you are very strong in them and some of you are not, and you need to work on this. So let us look first at cougar, your animal totem for this time of the year. Cougar is the highest climbing of all the cat family. But, capital B, capital U, capital T, but cougar is really more comfortable on the ground. And cougar has large paws that make it very comfortable on the earth mother. What is this saying about cougar people? Cougar people, oh, I should have asked before I got into this, how many of you were born between February 19th and March 20th? Any of you? I don't see any hands. Okay, because I'm going to say, these powers are just flowed naturally through you. But if you were a part of last week's group, the otter, you're going to be on the cusp of this and you're going to feel a lot of similarity. And next week, when I'm talking about the first moon of the east, Red Hawk, you're going to find a lot of these teachings are very, you're very comfortable with. So what do we see in this teaching of cougar being the highest climbing member of the cat family, and yet more comfortable or very comfortable on the ground? What we see in this in cougar people is that cougar people can climb high spiritually, philosophically, sociologically, economically, and intellectually, but they are well-grounded people. They are well-balanced people. This, what I'm trying to say now, reminds me when I was a boy. And that fundamentalist church, that's the only church I've ever been in where I heard women were such gossipers about each other. They were always saying something about another woman in the church. And every once in a while, one would say something like this: "Oh, Sally, she's so heavenly minded, she's of no earthly good." Well, that's not true of a cougar person. A cougar person can be heavenly minded, be climb high, but they're well balanced, they're well grounded. They will build, if you got a cougar person in your group, that person is going to help to keep your group well grounded and well balanced. They bring their medicine power to the group. Cougar, the best hunter in the cougar group is the female. She will go out, the male kind of follows her and watches her. She attacks and brings down the game, and then he comes and joins in on the conquest and the meal. And what does it say about people who are cougar people? You will find that the female is more of a hunter for spiritual truth than the male. Take a look at your church on a Sunday morning congregation. Any church of any denomination that you attend, who is in the greatest attendance? The female. Oh, well, I don't want you women now to get the big head when I'm telling you all this, because there are those of us men that are just as much cougar as you are. We climb high also. But then the question is, why? Why are there more women in church than men? Or in any endeavor looking for spiritual truth? I believe that I know the answer. It's the way that we were raised when we were young kids. You women, you were trained to have your dolls, and you dressed your dolls and you played with your dolls. It was preparing you to know how to be loving mothers when you grew up and be adults and started having live dolls that were your babies. You were raised to be a very nurturing and caring person. We men, we were raised in a very macho way. We were raised to be able to run the fastest, jump the highest, be the best, had to be number one. Boom, boom, boom. We just had to show our power. And we were ready to take control of the family, dominate. And so when it came to looking for spiritual teachings, you women went after your spiritual teachings in a very loving, nurturing, caring way. And oh, the ready, juicy meals that you got. Whereas too many of our men went after the teachings in a macho way, and it blew up on them. And so they gave up and they quit. So what am I saying? We learn from this. You women, you are on the path. If you are really going after it with your female natural way, nurturing, caring, loving way, the teachings of the Great Spirit will come alive for you. So what does that say to us men? I have learned how did I learn all these things that I'm telling you now about the difference between men and women and learning? I think of those 47 years when I was pastoring churches. And I would have my midweek Bible study. And if I had 20 people in my Wednesday morning Bible study, it might be 18 or 19 would be women and one or two would be men. But I noticed when I would have open forum discussions, the way they would approach the truth that I was trying to teach was different than the way I had been presenting it. And I soon learned that I'm going to learn a whole lot more if I can approach it through my female nature. You see, it's real easy for you women to approach the female nature. you kind of, there are some of you women that become very macho like a man, but that's rare. And there are few men that can look at life in a nurturing way like a woman. But we, all of us, you may be, whether you're physically female or male, all of us have a male and a female nature. As the scripture says, and God said, let us make man after our image, male and female created he them. So you we men, I'm talking to you now. As I have tried to, as I have learned from my life, turn to your female nature. Start going on your journey, climbing high like the cougar cat. In your female nature, the female cougar is the best hunter. And what you will find is that not only spiritually, but with a loving, caring nature rather than the macho nature, you'll climb much higher in the sociological tree of life with many people and many friends. You will climb higher intellectually, philosophically, economically, as you go after it in a loving nature. So we men, the more we will turn to the female nature within us, cultivate it, use it, the more we'll give birth, as the female gives birth, we'll give birth to new concepts, new ideas, be more creative, and we will have a far more abundant life. You will be a cougar. Well, enough for cougar. Let us turn to the plant totem, the plantain. When I talk about plantain, I am not talking about that fruit that you can buy at Fred Meyer's or Walmart that looks like a banana. No, it's, you'll call it a weed out in your yard. The plantain, there are over 200 species of plantain. They grow all over the entire world. They're not something that's isolated to any part of our world. They have all the leaves go from the base. No leaves at all off of a stem. And some of them, plantain, will be only maybe 2 inches tall. Some 6 inches, some 10, 11, 12 inches tall. They'll have one stem that'll come up in the middle of it, no leaves on it, but with a bloom at the top of it. It is a great healer. You can use it internally and or externally. It can be used in a form of a tea to take internally, and internally, it can help with digestive problems. It can help with kidney and bladder problems. It's a blood cleanser. It's great to take. But it can not only be used as a tea, you can put plantain in your tub with your bath, or you can use it in a compress. It's good to heal stings and bites externally. It's good to alleviate the problem of poisons. It's been used in many different ways. Plantain people are healers, and they have great healing powers. They can be healers physically, spiritually, through counseling, that's healing, and in many different ways. They are great healers. So when you have them in your group, a cougar person, you not only have someone that can climb high spiritually and be well balanced and well grounded, but you've got a person in your group that is a healer, a person who's just a great person to have in your group. So then we look at the mineral totem, turquoise. Turquoise comes in both green and blue. Blue for the Maui Heights that cougar climbs into. into the heavens and green for the green grass of the earth, Mother, that she's more comfortable on. These totem powers, they all stay right together, no matter whether they're animal, plant, or mineral. Turquoise has been, it's one of the most used minerals for adornment. Turquoise was one of the earliest minerals mined. It was mined in Egypt some 6,000 years before Christ. It's an ancient mineral to be used. If in the Indian world, they believe that a turquoise, if you wear turquoise in a ring, in a necklace, or however, a person who wears turquoise will never have any broken bones. If you notice, down in the Southwest, the Southwestern Indians, Navajo, the Hopi, the Apache, and all of them, if you see them when they're horses, they'll have turquoise in the bridles, turquoise in a number of different ways on their horses, so they can go up and down the steep canyon trails and not worry about their horses falling and breaking a leg. They also will put turquoise on their arrows and on their bows so that they will guide the arrow to the hit on the target. A turquoise gift, whether you're given a gift of a necklace, a ring, or whatever, is always a symbol of loving care, and you're guaranteed after being given that gift that you've got a person that will be a continuing friend with you through thick and thin, for better, for worse, for whatever. They will be one that will stick with you. So here you have cougar and its powers. And if you are having difficulty with some of those in your life, this is the best time of the year to work on it. We learn to do by doing. And so if you haven't been doing some of those very well, start working on it and practicing doing it. And you'll learn better and better. You have to learn to crawl before you can walk, and you have to learn to walk before you can run, jump, skip, or dance. Get ready to dance in the spirit. Enjoy your life. Open forum. Questions, comments on any of the three. I think
I have something.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay. You were talking about turquoise, and one of the things that they say is that turquoise is a protection stone, and that if someone were to send bad thoughts towards you, that sometimes your turquoise will just shatter. And I saw that happen one time. This lady was wearing a turquoise necklace, and she was leading a group. And it was in a church, believe it or not. And all of a sudden, that necklace exploded. It threw beads everywhere. So yeah. Somebody was definitely giving a lot of bad energy her way.
Yeah.
And that turquoise necklace, it just, you know, it took the hit, is what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was the mountain lion, because I'm a bear person. So the mountain lion is my weak side. That's directly across the wheel from me. And so when we had Wolf Clan in Kent, one time I did a presentation on mountain lion. And leadership is one of the big, big qualities of a mountain lion person, a cougar person.
Yes.
And the thing about it is that you have to be very, very careful. You have to be balanced, because cougars are basically loners, and you have to use your power right. You want people to follow you, because of the example you put out, not because you are demanding that they follow you or something, but live your life in such a balanced and beautiful way that people want to follow you. And then the other thing was mountain lions only live in north from South America up to North America. And they live from the very, very bottom of Patagonia all the way up through the Americas. But what stops them is the tree line, because the cougar is a stealth hunter. So being able to be stealthy is a big cougar quality, because they always hunt from ambush. So when the tree line stops, they can't go any farther. They have very long legs so that they can jump, and they're very, very strong. And compared to the like the African lion or the jaguar or something, a cougar is sort of a small animal. The females are about 7 feet from nose tip to tail tip, and only weigh like 65 to 90 pounds. And the males are about 8 foot to from nose to tip, and they can weigh up to like 130 to 150 pounds. And they really, really try to stay away from people. And I saw a really interesting set of statistics put out by the Forestry Service today. And they were talking about, they had gone to 200 different prey sites for cougars. And they looked at what cougar eat, because basically anywhere deer or elk live is where you'll find cougar, because that's their number one food. And it said that 25% of their meals was mule deer, 16% was elk, 14% was white-tailed deer. So that is 55% of their normal diet right there is either elk or deer. And then 12% was javelina, the wild desert hogs. 9% was feral hogs. 4% were goats. 4% were coyotes. 2% was food that they had scavenged. And 14% was miscellaneous mammals like skunks and possums and stuff. And 0% was livestock. So they get a really, really bad rap, you know, because they want to go out and, you know, kill off the cougars so they won't prey on the cattle. But 0% of their meals was livestock. Wow. And let me see. Cougars are the only big cat that purrs. All the others roar. So they purr. They basically are loners. A female will sometimes overlap territories with like 3 to 4 other females, but each female usually has about 20 to 60 square miles. That's her hunting territory. And a lot of times when she leaves the mother takes care of the cubs up to about 2 years, and then she just abandons them. You know, it's okay, kids, you know how to do it yourself, you're on your own. And so a female a lot of times will have a territory that overlaps her mother's, but the males take off. They go far, far away. And where a female will overlap territories with another female, the males will not do that. There is absolutely no male allowed in their territory. And a male has like 100 square mile territory, and he will breed all the females within that territory. So the only, and the female cougar is the one who chooses who her mate will be. She's the one that does that. So, and then they were talking about, because we do live in a place where there is a possibility to meet a cougar. Cougars basically hunt at dusk or dawn or during the night. So it's really a bad idea to be out walking on the trails at, you know, when it's like twilight. And it said you should never hike alone. This is from the Forestry Service. Go in groups with adults supervising children. Avoid dawn and dusk excursions. Keep children close to you. Animals seem especially drawn to children. Pick up small children. The mountain lion will see small children as easier prey. Do not approach a lion. Most lions try to avoid confrontation, so give them a way to escape. So, you know, don't go up and say, oh, kitty, kitty, let me take your picture. You know, always give them a way to escape. Do not run from a lion because that triggers the prey instinct. Do not crouch down or bend over. You want to make yourself as tall as possible. Put your arms over your head, open your jacket, you know, do everything you can to make yourself bigger. And it says, if you are attacked, fight back. Mountain lions usually try to bite the head or neck. Try to remain standing and face the attacking animal. And it says, remember, you are responsible for your safety and the safety of those around you. So, and Laura, I know a girl who, when she was 5 years old, this is up in British Columbia, and she was with her dog on the beach, and she was attacked by a cougar. And she was scarred, and they did plastic surgery on her, except for her hand. They left a scar on her hand because she's Native, and they felt that that was a very sacred thing. And they also feel that that the dog was not attacking her. I mean, the mountain lion was actually attacking her dog. So that's about all I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you for the cougar information. You are the aficionado. Thank you very much.
Well, I put a lot of effort into that talk because, like I said, that is my weak spot on the wheel. So I wanted to know a lot about
it. Awesome. Well, thank you. We need to transfer over to our Wawa. Go ahead, grandfather.
I got one more short teaching on the cougar people. Since you can climb high, you can get out into high spiritual realms. And in order to find yourself to get back to a well-balanced life, but a natural life, you must be careful in regards to your balance. And you must stay well balanced so that you can get back out of those high spheres and realms, spiritual realms. So be total cougar, not only climbing high, but remain well grounded.
Thank you, grandfather. And thank you, Laura. Let's move on. I'll turn it over to you now, to Laura and to Marcia. And let's go do a little language.
Marcia.
Yeah.
You want to carry on with that? You're doing such a good job. I think we're still doing some cleanup remembering work, aren't we?
Some review. Yeah. So
right.
You guys let me know if you want any words on the screen. I will leave it totally up to you.
Well, you know, when somebody new comes in the group that I haven't met, I like to introduce. So, Irene, I don't think I've met you before. Have I? No.
No, this is my first time.
Okay, so are you a member of Unity in Centralia or a friend of somebody else in a group? Or?
No, I just found your site last weekend. I've just been involved, or Daily Word has been part of my daily morning routine for many, many years. And it occurred to me that I could connect through Zoom, and I found your site and I saw one of the recordings. It was the 17th, I think. And so I just learned a little bit more about it. And I just really enjoyed the community from that service and felt drawn for the teachings here tonight.
Wow. So where do you live?
I live in Carson, Washington.
Oh, wow. So
Columbia Gorge near the Wind River.
So we just have to do a little personal stuff here. Irene, I'm from the Columbia Gorge originally. I was born in Goldendale and grew up in Klickitat County, but my mom, I'm descended of the Cascade tribe from the Bonneville Dam area. Oh. I don't know if you've lived in Skamania County for a long time, but the Alvicks and the Millers are my first cousins.
Okay.
Like I say, I don't know if you know any of them, but so Skamania County is, I can't say my second home, but was my mother's home.
Yes.
So welcome. This is so neat that you joined us. And so you probably already gathered, we do this once a week now. And Roy, who was just talking, actually, I'm Cascade descent and Cowlitz. And so Roy and I are distant cousins in Indian land. It doesn't matter how distant your cousin is, they're your cousin. And so we are cousins, and he's, you know, just a master teacher. And then most of this group, or many in this group, are from Centralia Unity. I belong to Tacoma Unity, which is kind of just coincidental. But that's a little bit of background about us. And so thank you for being here. So this half of the hour is devoted to Chinook jargon. And I love studying Chinook jargon because my grandmother, who lived in Stevenson, spoke the jargon. She called it the jargon. She also spoke her native Upper Chinook language as well as English. So I feel like when I'm learning and speaking jargon, that I'm doing something that my grandmother did, and it makes me feel closer to her. So the source, you guys, I'm just talking here, but the source we use for the jargon, if you're interested in it, which I hope you are, it'll be new, is this book called Chinook Wawa.
Okay.
And Roy Wilson, who just spoke, compiled this dictionary. He decided to make a project about, I don't know, maybe even 10 years ago, of gathering the Chinook language together and teaching it. So he researched all the historical dictionaries he could find. Have you studied anything about jargon before? Maybe you know this. Okay. So he gathered all the dictionaries he could find going back to probably the 1830s or 40s. When the first white people came out here and found that the natives were speaking an intertribal language for their trade, and that the white people could, if they integrated into that, they could trade better as well. And they also married the common law, married the Indian women. And the jargon was kind of the communal language for groups all the way from Alaska down to Northern California and then inland. And so Laura, who just spoke about Cougar, she particularly follows a website from someone in the Kamloops, British Columbia area. So that's, you know, fairly interior, and they spoke the jargon as well. So there's different what we call dialects of it in different areas. But Roy put 23 dictionaries together to produce this one. And this is our source book for the language learning that we do. So that, I mean, that, you know, that's a thick, intimidating looking book. Half of it is an English to jargon dictionary. The other half is a jargon to English dictionary. And then there's other things in it like hymns and just all kinds of resource stuff. And from that, we've extracted for this class, I happen to print mine on yellow, but we've extracted a short vocabulary that we use as a basis for this class. And I think that's available on the website, right, Tom?
In fact, I just put it in the chat box. Irene, okay. Are you familiar with using the chat? Okay. Then click on that link. And also, hi, Irene, I'm Tom. We've been emailing.
Oh, good. Tom's the technical guy here. Oh, you're muted again, Irene.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for the welcome, Tom.
So if there, you know, I'm glad you're here because some people would be intimidated. We've been doing this on Zoom for the past almost year. And so some people who would come in for the first time would say, oh my gosh, they're so far along, I can't do that. But I'll tell you, even though Laura and I have been studying jargon with Roy for several years, we always consider ourselves newcomers because there's so much to learn. And our little old 70-year-old brains like don't absorb it that fast. So we all just consider ourselves peers in what we're doing. And we try to review all the time so that anybody, whether they've been here a long time or whether they're new, doesn't have to feel like they're overwhelmed. So what we did last week, we kind of had a little break in the holidays. And then when we came back, we wanted to do some reviewing. So we've just been playing a little game, going round robin among ourselves to ask one another to, you know, we'll go through the alphabet and I would start with an A word and I would ask Laura, I'd say an A starting word to her and she'd define it. And then she'd ask Penny, give a B word to Penny and Penny would define it and then go on. And when we do this, it's off of these sheets and it gives us a chance to talk about the words because we all need like mnemonic devices to remember words for what they mean. They may have stories to them. Different inflections mean different things in the words. Again, I'm making it sound complicated and it's not as complicated as it sounds to talk about. But we just reinforce each other and help to get more familiar with the language that way. So that's what we're doing with our review. And then we'll go on to do some other things in other weeks, but that's still what we're kind of doing is re-immersing ourselves in the language right now. So does anybody want to add any introductory stuff for Irene's benefit?
That was well done. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you very much. Between you and Rainbow, I have learned a lot tonight. So thanks a lot.
Okay. Jeanette and Larry, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, welcome, Irene. I imagine you heard us all talking Klahawia when we first came on. Well, Klahawia is hello. So we could say Klahawia 6 would be hello, friends. You might hear people say Klahawia Chope. Well, Chope is grandfather. So we'd be saying good hello to Grandfather Roy Wilson.
And through the magic of Zoom, Larry and Jeanette used to live in the Northwest, but now they live, I think, in Illinois. So they're joining us from Illinois. And Laura lives in Federal Way. Grandfather Roy lives in Winlock. Penny lives in Centralia Chehalis, right? And mm-hmm. So does Tom in that area.
Yep.
And we have a few other people that join us. Not everybody gets to be here every time, but like from Seattle, from Federal Way, where's Danny live? She lives
in Centralia.
Centralia, okay. All right. So I guess without further ado, we'll just get started on that review if that sounds good to people. Penny, why don't you start? Why don't you present somebody with an A word to have them define and then go from there?
Okay, let me get my screen up so I can see everyone at once here.
And Tom, maybe Tom should put it on the screen since Irene doesn't have the vocabulary. He can put it on the screen and that way you can see what we're working from. Because I'm kind of visual and I think lots of people are.
I am too. So let me ask Tom, do you have that handy, Tom?
I can do that. Irene, do you have that now?
Yes, I'm getting it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Irene will have it up and that way you can watch everyone.
Okay, Larry and Jeanette, you're good? Okay. All right. Go, Penny.
Okay. Quickly remind me the format Am I doing a sentence
So you're going to say, I'll just pick the first word. So you're going to say, okay. Laura, I want to hear you talk to me about what aha means. And then she's going to say it. And then she's going to pick a word and a person. And then we'll just go on tag team like that.
Okay. So I will say, Laura, what does uncutty mean?
Uncutty or uncutty. It depends upon who is saying it. It means something that happened before right this moment. And it can be like it just happened uncutty, or it can be a longer time ago. And the longer you draw out the on part of it is how much longer ago it was. So when back when I was born, it might be on cutty. And one of the things is the word cutty or cootie. Grandfather says cootie. And that is a very sharp, clipped off. It's like you're cutting the word off right in mid-sentence. So it's on cootie.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, and, I have to do
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to do some talking about that word also. Irene, since you live in Skamania County, have you lived there for a long time?
Yes, 20 years.
Okay. So like I mentioned, because my native roots are there, my forebears, I can't think how many generations going back, are buried in the cemetery at North Bonneville. Do you know where that is? North Bonneville. But do you know where the cemetery is there?
No, I don't.
Okay, so north of, on the north side of the river, you know, the highway runs east and west. And as you're going downstream on your right is the embankment for the railroad. Mm-hmm. And just across on the other side of that is this old cemetery. It's called the Cascade Pioneer Cemetery. And it's across the street from that is a little substation for Bonneville Power. Anyway, so my ancestors are buried there. There is an obelisk there that was put there by the Army Corps of Engineers when Bonneville Dam was being built, because the island in the middle of the Columbia called Bradford Island at that point was a burial ground for the Cascade Indians. And when that was being excavated in the early 30s, they gathered up the bones from the island and buried them in this traditional Indian cemetery. Wow. I truly believe that when my very uncutty ancestors were buried, they were buried in the trees there, because that was the custom. Anyway, this obelisk is there, and on it, it says, Oncutty Tilakam Musum, which is Chinook jargon for Oncutty means the old Tilakam people, and Musum means sleep. So the old ones rest here. That's Chinook jargon. So if you were to visit that cemetery and see that obelisk, which you couldn't miss, you would now know. The history, and that's Chinook jargon. So great. I never told that story here before, I don't think, but because Irene's from there now, she can relate to that.
Oh yeah, so I'll have to go find it.
Had to jump in.
So now okay. It's on my bucket list.
There you go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Larry. How about the word Alta?
So Alta means like now or this instance or right away. So like
that's all there is to it. Yeah. Soon. It could mean soon. Okay, your turn to tag somebody.
Now, are we staying with the letter A or are we changing?
No, you can move on alphabetically.
Anything you want.
Okay. Let's see. Is Tom on this? Tom, how about Hayek?
Hayek. I think Tom must be behind the scenes doing something. Can I take Hayek?
Sure.
It means fast, rapidly, quick, or swift. So a hawk maybe would be Hayek.
And for people that live in the northern part of the state, they cross Snoqualmie Pass. There is a ski area called Hayek.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we remember it, because we think, oh, people are skiing fast down the mountain, Hayek. That's how we remember that. Okay, go ahead. I'm jumping in all the time.
No, that was perfect. I'm really enjoying this session because we've had three extra nuggets of information, and that's the way this should flow. It's a beautiful thing that's happening here. So I'm going to ask you, Marcia, about the word Ixum. Ixum.
Ixum. Iscum. It's pronounced Iscum.
Oh yeah, it is.
Iscum. And that means to get or to hold, to take hold of, to acquire. Irene, in this language, because it's the vocabulary is way smaller than like English, you know, maybe, I don't know how many words there are in English. Let's pretend there's 20,000. In Chinook jargon, there's a 1,000 to 1,500. So every word has to do a whole bunch of jobs. So we always say that you stretch your mind. When you hear a word used in a sentence, you don't just translate it literally. You stretch your mind. What's all the possible ways that this word could fit in here? So you get it from the context. So iscum is one of those kinds of words to get, to grab, to acquire, to hold. Lots of different things can be iscum. And that's just iscum. That's just a really native sounding word to me. Iscum. I can just, you know, the come part of it, short come. That's very native sounding word to me. Okay, Jeanette, how about Chaco?
Taco is to come or become.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if he were to say, come here, it'd be taco.
Yakwa, here, yakwa.
Taco, yakwa, that
means. Come here.
Nice. Yeah.
Okay, is Grace with us?
That's another name for Tom.
Irene, the word Elahi starts with an I.
Elahi.
Elahi, sorry, Elahi.
Hold on. Yes, Elahi, land, earth, the ground, country. And in Stevenson, there's a hotel. And before I moved to the gorge, I worked with the Forest Service. And at the time, wow. It was called the Elahi. And it's still in my mind as the Elahi, even though it's changed names. I can't even tell you what it's called, because to me, it's still the Elahi. So nice to know what it really means.
And once you start learning jargon, you'll see that you come across words that now will make sense to you, because you'll say, oh, that's a jargon word. That's really cool. That like telecom or skookum. Skookum is a word you sometimes hear used in English. Yes. It's really a jargon word, means powerful or strong. All right. Good job. You need to unmute, Irene.
And so, yes, so I just pick another word.
Yeah.
Sure.
Somebody.
Uh-huh.
And who is, is Rainbow available?
Rainbow that's and Laura me. Are the same person. So that's Laura.
Okay. So have we been around once?
Yeah, you can go with anybody, whatever.
Okay, I'll go with Laura. Let's see. I'll have to try to find something I can pronounce. Delate.
Good job.
Delate. Delate is very. It's another word. Anywhere, any place you can use the word very, V-E-R-Y. You can use delayed also, but it also means it's straight or it's true. And so when they were talking about someone giving straight talk, it would be delayed wawa. Wawa is the word for anything that has to do with words or speech or communication. So delayed wawa, you know, he's speaking with a straight tongue, you know, he's honest. Telling the truth. Somebody said something?
Honest. It's another honest. Honest would be delayed wawa.
Yeah. Too. Yeah. Yeah. The words that are on here are just a sampling. If you have grandfather's book, there can be a lot more definitions. A lot of these words, like Marcia was saying, there are so few words compared to the English or another language that they're what I call a concept word. They cover the whole concept of, you know, truth, honesty, you know, being straight about something. Okay, Jeanette, how about puss-puss?
Everyone has their puss-puss.
Yes. Except for me, I don't have one.
My 6-month-old. Okay.
So while you're picking a word, I'd love to say about puss, again, since this language is a jargon, an amalgamation of different languages. So puss puss obviously is the picking up of the word puss or pussy from English and applying it, putting it into the jargon, puss puss. And just like moose moose is cow, because they say moo and that they incorporated moose moose as cow. Okay, Jeanette, your turn.
Honey, Maina. Say it again.
Maina.
Maina. That's a new word to me.
We just haven't used it.
I don't know, Jeanette. Can you help me out with that?
It's at the end of the M's.
M-Y. Look at the M's. M-Y.
Oh, there it is. Jeanette, I'll give you the meaning. It means song. Song. Maina.
Maina.
Maina. Larry. Tamanawas.
I should know this one right off. The spirit?
Yeah.
Spirit, your strength. Yeah.
Yeah. So when Roy's doing his lessons about the medicine wheel, each of those animals is your Tamanawas for like your astrological sign for that time period.
Right. Oh, wow. That's a good one. Okay. So Irene, how about Sagali.
Sagali.
Starts with an S.
S-A-G.
Yeah, Sagali.
Oh, S-A-G, okay. Sagali. Up, above, high, sky, top, heaven. Sounds like words that would describe a cougar person.
Yes. Ah.
Yeah. We also speak of the highest Sagali Tai, the highest, very high.
Mm.
And Sagali may be up above mountain uppermost, and then Tai would be Chi. So that was basically speaking of God, the Great Spirit.
Nice.
Highest Sagali Tai. So if you ever, we don't do it on here, but if you're ever around Roy and hear him pray, he prays highest Sagali Tai. Roy is he inferred to you, he's a retired minister and was a spiritual leader of the Kalitz tribe for many years. So when he prays publicly highest Sagali Tai to the great chief of the above when he translates. Yes. That's what he says.
Oh. Well, I'm going to have to interrupt here in a minute. Let's do one more word and then we'll do our closing.
So Irene, you get to choose a word.
Okay. Let's see here. And let's see, I need to pick someone. Tom available?
I think Tom is doing background duty, so.
Okay. I'll just, Penny. Oops, where did it go? Klahani.
Outside or outdoors. Okay, Klahani. And right now, outdoors, it is very, very cold. Do we have a word for cold?
It's cold.
Oh, my goodness. Tonight was absolutely wonderful. We got some additional nuggets of wisdom about many things. Thank you, everyone who shared with us tonight. And thank you for being a part of the Storytelling Hour, to the people in the room and to the people who will be viewing this in the future. Thank you, Tom, our editor and tech support. And I want to remind you and let Irene know that each lesson is preserved and can be viewed on the Unity website. So it sounds like you have already discovered that, and you can go back to all of our, I think we did almost 60 Chinook myths, but legends.
Okay.
And so we are into our third time on the medicine wheel, and it's all being preserved for our grandchildren and generations to come. I am so excited about this project.
This is great.
So, yeah. So thank you, Tom, for making all of this possible for the future generations. Thank you, Irene, for being here. Jeanette and Larry, good to see you. Anybody I missed, I just look forward to seeing you again next week. Lahaya.
And Irene, you're such a good sport. Thank you for joining right in. That was really, really fun for us too. Hope you come back.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Have a good week.
Larry, too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.